You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered, so you can get to know the neighborhood without ever setting foot in it. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts, including detailed video overviews and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. Basically, everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, even things like median lot size and a noise score, is available to you on Homes.com. And if you have a family or plan on raising one, Homes.com has all the information you need about the local schools in the area. Where your kids or future kids go to school is as important as any decision you'll make in the home shopping process. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
On today's podcast, we have some juicy news out of Perplexity, Anthropic, and OpenAI. They're all really interesting stories. Jaden, why don't you tell them about our school community first?
Yeah, so first off, super stoked about all three of these stories. All the big companies are releasing exciting stuff, OpenAI, Anthropic, Perplexity. So, you know, we're all here for it. Before we get into that, if you are trying to grow and scale your company or you're working in an organization where AI tools are used or needed, we would love to have you as a member in the AI Hustle School community. We essentially help people learn about the tools that they need, and we release exclusive content there every single week that we don't put anywhere else. So this week we did a whole episode all about how I personally am making money as an AI consultant. People I know that are making, you know, $20,000 for speaking engagements as AI consultants, how they're able to do that. And in the past, we've done videos about a ton of different AI tools, Midjourney, all sorts of different tricks, hacks, things that we're using that, you know, you might not see other places. We break down all of the numbers, the figures, the stuff we can't publish publicly. So if you're interested in joining the AI Hustle School community to grow and scale your current business or to make money with a new AI side hustle or venture, join the AI Hustle School community. It's $19 a month. We'll be increasing the price in the future, but for now, if you get it at this price, you'll be locked in and it will never increase on you. Over 200 members. It's a great place. And we'll drop a link in the description to join. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that Anthropic has actually increased the price of their latest new Haiku model. So Anthropic, they're always dropping new models. The interesting thing here is in the past, they actually said that they were going to keep the price the same or maybe decrease it. And then they actually increased it. So a lot of people were kind of upset about this. What's interesting to me though, is this is actually something that we're seeing from OpenAI as well. When they released their O1 preview, it essentially used way more compute. And so instead of, you know, keeping the price the same, they actually had to increase the price of the API for that as well. So it and have higher limits on your account. So anyways, it's pretty interesting. But apparently it is much better. You can get it on via their API or AWS Bedrock if you're a developer, yada, yada. Or, you know, go use it through them directly. But if you're using this, apparently the new Claude 3.5 Haiku is better than their previous flagship model, which was Claude 3 Opus. So they're able to beat it or match it, the previous version. And it's really good for coding, data extraction, labeling, content moderation. But the problem is it doesn't actually have access to images yet, which is kind of just like O1 preview from OpenAI. They release these new models and they don't always have them fully featured. So it doesn't necessarily have the ability to have like the vision and the image embedded in it. It's just so interesting to me that it feels like these two companies are doing very similar things. I wouldn't be surprised if the improvements that they were able to get off of this model so quickly, because I didn't even know they were training like a big model, but this kind of model update, I wouldn't be surprised if the improvements they were able to get off of this is exactly what OpenAI did with their chain of reasoning, where they essentially just had, it's like prompts that run the output through multiple steps to make sure that it's really high quality. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to me, but the price is going up instead of down. It's not the end of the world. It's $1 per million input tokens. That's about 750,000 words. So, you know, they give you a lot, and it's $5 per million output tokens. So that's, you know, compared to 25 cents and $1.25 if you're talking about Claude 3 Haiku. So anyways, about a 4x hike.
It almost seems, do you think they're trying to go after a specific user, like a coding company or like a app developers rather than like your average consumer? It seems like they're trying to kind of niche down a little bit.
That is a really great point that I hadn't even thought of. Oh my gosh, that's true. you know, the big thing that they focus on is like coding, and they say this is going to be better for like data extraction and coding. They specifically outline that, but they just signed a deal with GitHub Copilot to be used for like developers, which previously was all done with OpenAI because Microsoft has this really cozy relationship with OpenAI. But that's a great point. They're probably really trying to work on keeping their edge, even if it's just a little bit better at like coding, a little bit better at this and that. Because one of the big things I hear from developers, like they use ChatGPT for coding, but they're like, Anthropic's Claude is like just a little bit better, maybe 10 or 15% better. So it's worth it. And so I think they want to keep that edge. And so if OpenAI is making theirs just a little bit better, they're just really trying to push the limit, even if it costs more. They want to make sure that it's like the best. So yeah, that's a good point. I think they're probably really going after developers for that. Okay.
Totally.
The other story that has been going down is that Perplexity's CEO has offered to essentially, so the New York Times, all their staff is striking right now, and they're the New York Times is mad about it because they're like, this is right before the election, like the election happens in the US, and how dare you guys do this? And now our readers won't have like access to all the greatest election coverage and information we might want to give them. So the CEO of Perplexity comes out and he's like, hey, look, don't worry, we're on standby. We're going to, since you guys can't cover the election properly, we are going to help people have all the tools they need to get all the information about the election that they need. This is so funny. First of all, this I think is it's what genius. Happened.
I think it's
yes. Okay, give me your take on this, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, so I personally have a bone to pick with New York Times, mostly because whenever I try to click an article to read it, they try to make me pay for it, which I'm not going to do a paywall yeah. for the New York Times. That's absolutely ridiculous. Plus, they, I would say, are biased in a lot of ways, which most news outlets are. But
yeah,
I would way rather use a tool like Perplexity. So the fact that they're kind of flexing a little bit. And I think it'd be hilarious to see all the writers, you know, get let go and have Perplexity take over as their writer. But maybe that's large.
No, okay, but I think it's an interesting point, which is, I know it's harsh, but if like an AI tool can do something as well, at some point it won't be viable. But, you know, writers brings their own perspectives and whatever. But okay, I think the other point you made was like, quite difficult to argue with, and that is that the New York Times, they're like, how dare you do this? Our readers really rely on us to get like critical election information. Okay, but only if you're subscribed, because I'm trying to look at the New York Times right now, and there's this article called A Grim Trump and an Upbeat Harris End the Race Hitting Opposite Notes, right? Whatever. So, I mean, they're potentially, depending on what side you're on, you could say there's the bias you're talking about there, Jamie, in their headlines. So that might be case in point. But the point, I think the bigger point is, regardless of your biases or where you fall on this issue, they're paywalling everything, okay? And Perplexity is not paywalling everything. I'm on a free account on Perplexity right now, and they're giving me information about the presidential race, voter guides, Senate information, House information. Like, they have all of this... they have these cool graphics where they're breaking stuff down, who's winning, who's doing what. They have all this tech. So I think this is a brilliant marketing move. They got some pushback because there's apparently when someone's doing a strike, like the New York Times is doing a strike. So here's the exact tweet, I guess, from their CEO I'll bring up. So Max Tanney tweeted and said, New York Times publisher A.G. Sulzberg emails the Times newsroom saying that the New York Times Tech Guild strike will likely continue through the election. He says it's troubling that the Tech Guild would try to block this public service at such a consequential moment for a company or for a country. Okay, public service might be a little bit generous since it's a paid product that 90% of people aren't paying for. So public service, you know, might be a little generous. Okay, so we got the CEO of Perplexity responding and saying, hey, A.G. Sulzberger at New York Times, sorry to see this. Perplexity is on standby to help ensure your essential coverage is available all through the election. DM me anytime. So obviously this is just a great marketing plug. Like, oh, look, you can't get your information over there. Don't worry. We got you guys covered. So I think this is a great marketing thing. People were upset about this, saying that he was acting as a scab. So pretty much a scab is a derogatory term for anyone that's, you know, they're willing to do the job of striking workers, right? So you have a big strike with truckers, and then someone says, okay, my truck company will come and replace them all. Then they essentially don't have any leverage to, you know who this recently reminds me of? Not to get like political, but I think this is an objectively facts in this, but recently there was like all the port strikes that were going to happen all over the US. If you remember, there's like the port, the people that unload everything at the docks and the ports in the US. They were going to go on strike. And it was going to be this bad thing for gas prices and everything. Toilet paper ran out at the Walmart near me. It all ran out. So I don't know. Any case, at that same time, Ron DeSantis in Florida said, I'm going to mobilize the National Guard in Florida, and they're just going to run all the ports in Florida until this gets fixed, because, you know, he's like, we don't want this going. And then like the next day they like struck some sort of deal. I don't really know what it was. So I think you could probably say that he was being a scab, because he was saying essentially, I'm going to bring in all these people to do the job of the people on strike, and then whatever. Okay. So bringing that up, because I think that's what people are concerned about here. In any case, for all of these reasons, I think this is probably not a bad thing. It's just, it's a free market. So if they want to, if they're not doing it, Perplexity can do it. This is what he responded, though, in response to his kind of accusations of being a scab. He said, the offer was not to replace journalists or engineers with AI, but to provide technical infrastructure report or support on a high traffic day. You know, he's trying to spin it as a good thing. I think at the end of the day, call it what you want, but it is a free market. So obviously they can just offer some of this interesting information that people might be interested in on a high traffic day. So their loss, obviously, probably the New York Times gain, their loss, I guess, and Perplexity's gain, unless the New York Times can get the situation figured out. But a lot of this really does hinge on kind of this AI versus human worker, legacy worker struggle that goes back and forth, where like it's really hard to have a lot of these strikes. I felt like Hollywood had some of the same problems. It's really hard to have some of these strikes when essentially you have AI that can replace what you're striking for. And I think it's going to get worse and worse as we go in the future, because right now a lot of the stuff's new and it's getting figured out, but like next election cycle, this Perplexity tool is going to be like way better, and people are going to be asking, do I even want the old way of consuming information, or is this new AI and these new tools better? And I think strikes will be more and more difficult, because AI tools will just complete, like a company could just completely replace their workers if you know, it gets too costly. And people are thinking about doing that already without the strike. So I don't know. Tricky situation, definitely.
Yep. All right. So our third article is about OpenAI. There's some rumors going around because they recently hired the former CEO and co-founder of Pebble, which is like a competitor to X or Twitter. So they are working on a secret project with this guy named Gabor Ciso. They don't really know what this, they didn't really, you know, expose what this actually is, but they think maybe there's a social media element coming from OpenAI. I don't know. Jaden, what are your thoughts on this? What does this tell you that they hired this guy?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. There's a lot of people speculating on essentially that OpenAI is going to like get more into the social space, because this was a direct competitor to Twitter that this guy launched. Now he's coming over. But to be fair, like I looked a bit at his background, and you can see he sold like a email company to Google, then he started another company that he sold to Twitter before Elon purchased it and changed it to X. And so like he's been in a lot of these companies. He then went over and worked at Google. And then he worked in their like incubator for some of their startup or for some of their, some of their spinoffs and stuff. So like he's been around, and he's a pretty solid guy, but, then he did go in and found with, Discord's ex engineering head, he did go and found Pebble, which was all about safety and moderation. Like that was kind of their big, it was like, it's Twitter, but there's like, we focus on safety and moderation, which I've heard people argue is like censorship, but like, you know, however you want to label that, that's what they call it, a safety and moderation. And that was kind of what his company was all about. And if you ask TechCrunch about it, they will say that he enjoyed a small but engaged community. So from what I've seen, doesn't really like X. And so any competitor to X, they tend to be pretty positive towards them. Small but engaged community is a very positive way to say he was never actually able to reach scale for his company. And so it actually shut down last October. And then they kind of spun up a new version of it as like an instance on Mastodon in November, but it's essentially the company's kind of dead. But there was a lot of hype around this. I heard a lot of talk about this as a good alternative to Twitter if you didn't like free speech and stuff on Twitter or whatever. So yeah, I did see people talking a lot about it. Sounds like it's shut down now. So it's interesting to see if he comes over and there's a lot of speculation, because you can always like when a hire like this goes over, And it's not just like a guy that worked there. He was a co-founder. So it's interesting because either OpenAI is trying to pull him over to do some sort of social play, which I think would be really interesting to see OpenAI do anything in kind of a social realm, or maybe they're pulling him over to do the trust and safety side because, you know, Anthropic kind of has a better brand image. I don't know if it's even better with trust and safety, but it kind of has more of a brand image for that. So maybe they're trying to pull over some people that focused on, you know, platforms for trust and safety. Now we're going to get them in here working on trust and safety at OpenAI. So I think one of those two routes is how they're going to try to spin this is either social or kind of the trust and safety, which both, I mean, should be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, I don't know. Yeah, I can't really picture what an OpenAI social world would look like other than if it's, you know, a helpful place for sharing, you know, prompts or something like that. If it's social in that aspect, I don't know if like sharing your, you know, what you ate for breakfast
I think
makes a lot of sense. But
okay, I like your prompt concept. Another one, though, I think that might be even more like on brand could be like if you think about like Midjourney and how they have their explore page with all the pictures that people are creating. I think you could have like, because OpenAI has their DALL-E image generator, I think they could do some sort of maybe social play with like images or videos that you generate with some of the tools. And it's like you can go look at like a whole bunch of images and comment on other people's images and ask them about the prompts and ideas. And I don't know, like maybe there's some sort of world where you have some sort of like engagement around content that you create with AI, OpenAI tools.
True. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
So
in any case, if you enjoyed the, this episode, please be sure to leave us a review. That means a lot to us. We read every one and it gives us great feedback on the podcast. And be sure to check out our school community. It's a great place to be around like-minded individuals who are using AI every single day and making money with it. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place? Well, now it is on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better. They've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.